suffer from chronic CFED or can't focus energy drain? Try over-the-counter Vibrant. One tablet contains the same caffeine as a cup of coffee, but without the calories or coffee breath. Vibrant. Caffeine, not coffee. Taking Vibrant may result in increased productivity and decreased dread in setting alarms. Unexpected enjoyment of the graveyard shift has been associated with Vibrant. Vibrant may be a better budget option than drinking coffee. It may also decrease the urge to doze off, skip work, or exhibit signs of slacking. All jokes aside, always read the label, take only as directed, and limit caffeine as it may cause real side effects. Not for children under age 12.
Hey, you're listening to Patriot Power Hour. I am Future Dan, editor of FutureDanger.com. And joining me tonight, my co-host, Ben Cochran of DethroneTheBanksters.com. Ben, how you doing?
What's up, Future Dan? Doing well. Today was absolutely crazy. We got like so much going on with the Fed, with cryptos and Bitcoin and just in the tax plan and just all this other stuff. And that's not even politics or geopolitics. So besides that, though, I'm gearing up for end of the year and hopefully some time to relax and be with family and stuff. So I look forward to that.
Yeah, it's that time of year. We're running right into the Christmas, New Year's week, and it's going to be a good holiday, I have a feeling. And, you know, you mentioned these predominantly economic topics that we're going to discuss tonight, and I can't wait to get into them. The funny thing, the irony, is right now at FutureDanger.com tonight, Wednesday, 9 p.m., there is not a lot of economic news that's dangerous showing up. Is it the calm before the storm, Mr. Cochran?
Well, if we just look at the interest rate hike today, yesterday, the 13th, 1-3, I don't know if that has any resemblance, you know, in numerology, but mostly just joking, though. The Fed did raise interest rates to 1.25%. It's gone up a full 1% in the past couple of years. Still, at 1.25%, that's extremely low rates historically. And because of that, it was priced in. Everyone knew it was going to occur, and it's still extremely low. So we're seeing very low volatility, essentially all-time highs. So it is possibly calm before the storm, but it seemed like it's been like that for many years as it continued to hit all-time highs. And doomsayers out there continue to be proven wrong, at least in the short to medium term. But I do see here on Future Danger, maybe, though, I could help tease out some very dangerous pieces of news out there that we could talk about economically and otherwise.
I got a question for you on the heat map that you're looking at right now. We only got two indicators that are showing any news that's somewhat concerning under the economic column 3. This is the first time this ever happened since Future Danger started in October 2015. You think I should just let the column go blue? Just say, hey, you come into Future Danger, look at that. No negative economic news. If it goes that way, if none happens to be found in the next few days, that's what the system will do. Should I let it go?
And to be honest, as long as, of course, to be scientific, you are putting in the same amount of effort as always, using the same sources, but also looking at other sources, and that's the case, then do it. If the whole point of the indicator just a gauge thing.
Yeah,
look,
we might get there.
Says zero, you leave it at zero.
We might get there, my friend. So, another topic we wanted to hit on is, you know, this phenomenon that is hitting the world, and we've talked about it for every episode of the first season of
right.
Patriot Power Hour. It's the leading cryptocurrency, Bitcoin. It was spiking last week, the night after we aired, and hit that high again, high 1,700, you know, reaching 18,000, and it's down again today, swinging. What is this going to become? What is it going to become about? I've heard a lot of people talking about attitudes toward it and how people are reacting now that they've heard of it. What have you seen out there?
Yeah, so just to give a little context into it, I wasn't there when Bitcoin was like $5 or anything, but when it was in double digits, you know, high double digits, I had read and heard a lot about it and even purchased a little bit, not a bunch, and unfortunately I sold a decent amount up until this run-up from, you know, the high double digits to, what, five digits that we're at? So that's crazy. Yeah, I think five digits, I think I'm right there. Crazy. However, what I'm trying to say here, though, is there have been a lot of wild swings in the middle in the last 3, 4, 5 years. And a lot of them have been down. And we've not seen a down swing, you know, 50, 70, 80% for many years. And you got to remember, year to date, we're up from 1,000 up to 17,000. So a 17-fold increase in 1 year. You got to be expecting a pullback. When that happens, we've had so much easy money come in, people that may not be totally, what I'm trying to say is in previous crashes, my opinion, a lot of people who were buying Bitcoin were there to hold or even trying to buy more because they believed in the technology. Now, I'm just wondering, all this speculative money coming in so quick and easy, it may also flow out quick and easy. We'll see 70, 80, 90% destruction, but this time, the limelight will be on, not the limelight, but the spotlight, opposite of the limelight, the interrogation light, will be on Bitcoin, potentially other cryptos, by the mainstream media and whatnot. And people have heard of it. In my job, one of the top financial guys in the company has talked about Bitcoin with me. If he sees it go down 80%, he will totally ridicule it. Long story short, it's going to get crazy, up, down, or in between. So hold on tight. We'll try to cover it here on Patriot Power Hour.
So the news that broke, or didn't necessarily break, but, you know, a phenomenon happened this past Sunday where, you know, historically Bitcoin has always been an underground, you know, novel trading system, entirely private and encrypted. Well, now Wall Street has a futures market on the Chicago Board of Exchange, open Sunday, 6 p.m. And well, I want to run an idea past you about how Bitcoin may be fitting into the entire larger scheme of things economically and politically. You know, we got tax reform. We're going to talk about it tonight. It's looking like some form of that is going to pass and hit the president's desk. So it's going to be rocket fuel to this economy. If you are so inclined to believe the 2006, 7, 8, you know, run up to that crisis left a outgoing president, leaving an incoming president, a whole host of opportunities to do novel things, which we witnessed, you know, with the monetization of debt and the bailouts. Why wouldn't a sitting president today in 2017, first term, consider the possibility that there may be forces in the, you know, financial sectors that would like nothing more than to tank him? And I'm not, obviously not the first one to come up with this view that potentially, you know, Trump's at risk of that big, fat, ugly bubble that he talked about in the campaign, you know, actually happening. Where does Bitcoin fit into this, Ben? I think it has the potential to provide leverage in the system. And that is the reason why I don't think this president or his administration, if he can help it, if he can help him, who knows who launches what at the SEC, but he is not going to prosecute or push to corner Bitcoin. This thing's going to run because – as I said last week, the best I can tell, its number one function and its only true value could be that in the event of a market melt-up and market meltdown, equities, bonds, credit markets, banking sector, all of that starts to wobble, Mr. Cochran. Now there's Bitcoin and money can fly right off the radar to all of those institutions. Does it not provide this first-term president an insurance policy where the powers that be in the sectors that your show on Thursday nights is named after, the banksters, is not a hedge against what they might be plotting to do?
It would all depend if people would actually give over physical goods for Bitcoin. There are some people who do transact in Bitcoin, either buy or sell with it, and it's legitimate. I have
over 100,000 firms right now. From what I saw this week, 100,000 firms do it all online, probably, right?
Well, good majority of them. Of course, you can hook up your Bitcoin to a Visa and use your Visa in places as well. But if there is that big of, you got to remember, like 1% of 1% of people who consider them, quote, investors are in on Bitcoin now. And that's like at a all-time high crazy mania. So either A, you could say that means Bitcoin's got a whole lot higher to run, because once people really do get in, it's going to go to crazy heights. Or you could also say that people still won't know what the heck it is, and if there is a crisis, they'll be way too scared to actually give over a house or a car for Bitcoin, even if Bitcoin's 300,000. People may not trade a Bitcoin or a Bitcoin and a half for their home as easily as they would have in the past for U.S. dollars. What I'm saying, you know, but on the flip side, I see what you're talking about, more of an indicator. I could see potentially a store of wealth, but more of an indicator if things do go belly up, but then all of a sudden people do rush into crypto, the powers that be may not be able to suppress the price much, if at all, unlike gold and silver, which we know they have suppressed in the past artificially. So that is definitely one thing to look at.
Yeah, precious metal price suppression, definitely an indicator. We track at futuredanger.com, and we've seen a lot of evidence of it. But this ability to swing wealth into something that's encrypted and privately held in the main, there's enough power that's private power in it that where, you know, any kind of manipulation, whether it's, you know, private or public, governmental or, you know, black market, wherever it's coming from, cyber espionage or cyber attack, if it gets big and rolling, it may have the resilience then, the ability to continue to function. We saw last week where prices didn't match on different exchanges.
Yeah.
So if you can get over the fact that is going to kind of wreck, it'll sort itself out and rectify. And
right.
The scandal that probably is going to come out of it is, someone's going to boast about the, you know, $500 million they made by arbitrage where they sorted somebody out and did it. You know, that's when the quashing and the crushing and the cornering of the cryptos by the SEC, I could imagine the New York State Attorney General might just try something, because hell, all of his stuff's in New York. So why not start a lawsuit there?
Know your stuff, man. The whole talk about arbitrage, first and foremost, is huge. But on the flip side, it's the true free market. Like you said, there will be dislocations and winners and losers, but it will balance itself very quickly from those who arbitrage. But overall, it's way more efficient and effective and makes many more people much wealthier if you do it in a free market way rather than a top-down, centrally controlled way. I think both you and I agree on that, just as a philosophy, so to speak. So Bitcoin's almost the ultimate free market. Some will, of course, try to say that it's too much free market, or just point to all the illicit drugs and whatnot it's been associated with in the past. But yeah, New York Attorney General, probably a damn good bet of where some of these issues may start. But I don't know if he'll be able to do anything about it.
Yeah, you know, there's always ports of entry and exit. And when you bring the money back into dollars out of these cryptos, it's tracked unless you move it into metals, and that's what they're worried about. But, you know, perhaps drug dealing will get tightly linked with massive amounts of metal that it can be laundered off of Bitcoin. I don't know. But I think this thing, what's your view of my thoughts on the political leverage the current president has, as it's clear to the entire world there's a deep state apparatus that's opposing his rule. If the regulators or the people want to assist in kicking off potentially a economic disaster, why would that be any less plausible than, you know, pulling the same stunt with an espionage disaster out of Russia during the election that doesn't seem to actually have any water in that bucket?
Well, on one hand, I know you.
Is there leverage the president gets?
Yeah, but he just didn't sign NDAA, and you know he's not stopping a lot of the other things that Bush and Obama's of the world did, so I just don't think he's too much of a savior insofar as this, that, and other thing. But they are against him in some ways, though, so I will say that.
Isn't he using it, though? It's just a phenomenon that's popping up, and he's playing in the field as it comes. Here's Bitcoin. Trump had nothing to do with it, probably never believed in it, but he sees it as if the fiat system got a little bit, it prevents the fiat system from going all artificially sideways. Someone, you know, a Soros coming along trying to move a market into, you know, some kind of correction where people's 401ks get banged up right before the election and see Trump wasn't all that. I think Bitcoin is a place where the smart money would try to fly. All the hedge fund investors that all push for the Chicago board's futures trading, the ability to buy and sell contracts, betting on the price of the future of Bitcoin. It's a side market. It's a total access to all of Wall Street. Why would that get set up? And how does a president who might have those fears be taken advantage of or benefit from this new terrain?
Well, has he ever mentioned anything about it? I don't even know. I don't think he's mentioned nothing.
I don't think
it.
He's ever made a public statement, yeah.
Okay. I do know he's got, you know, he's got a hotel right there down on Wall Street. So I think he will do what behooves Wall Street and his investments as well. So I wouldn't think he would leverage Bitcoin 100% to take down a system. But that said, if he's able to show, if they really do pull the rug out from under him economically, and he knows it's a fraud, and he goes all out and tries to expose the fraud, he could leverage Bitcoin as a free market alternative, or point at its price action of people escaping as a tool or as a potential talking point. So definitely could do that, but I don't think he'll publicly come out and endorse it and say, take your money out of, you know, U.S. Treasuries. Because you're funding the war machine that'll never be it'll never be paid back, and that we're, you know, running huge deficits. I don't think he'll go that much into the financial truther zone, but maybe he'll dabble off in Bitcoin. I don't know. We'll see.
I'll tell you what. I think we're about time for our first break, Mr. Cochran. But just imagine this as we go out. Think about this: one tweet from the president in the economic sphere advocating Bitcoin. Imagine the impact that could have if he had to do it, compared to his boycott the NFL this season or his fake news rampage. The amount of attention it got, all he'd have to do is turn one time. He tweets about how the DOJ and the FBI aren't playing it straight, and he's the president. Imagine if he tweeted a pro Bitcoin tweet. Let's leave it there, man.
All right, man, for sure. We'll be back, folks. Stick right with us.
Atlas! 3 weeks from now, I will be harvesting my crops. Imagine where you will be, and it will be so. Hold the line. Stay with me. You find yourself alone, riding in green fields with the sun on your face. Do not be troubled, for you are in Elysium, and you're already dead! Brothers, what we do in life echoes in eternity.
We are going to have to act if we want to live in a different world.
Mr. Cochran, paper three, coming forward on the side stick with everyone on the Patriot Power Hour, hosted to you by Mr. Ben Cochran of Dethrone the Banksters, and yours truly, Future Dan, editor of FutureDanger.com, a heat map dashboard dedicated to bringing discrete pieces of news organized in a meta-category manner to help you rapidly detect where you are relative to your world in all the ways that are a threat to you and your family. Mr. Cochran.
It's a great site. Everyone go check it out. I'm telling you, futuredanger.com. I go to it every day.
Thank you, sir. So, the Federal Reserve pumps out a 25-point increase in the government-directed, all you private banks follow this arbitrary ass number today. What do you make of it? How does this end up? How does it play out?
Man, it is very, very deep, and I'll have to plug my own. You even plugged it for me earlier. So thank you, sir. But every Thursday, I talk about this on Breaking the Banksters on my other radio endeavor. And it's so deep that I have to talk about it over many episodes. So I could talk your head off, is I guess what I'm trying to say. But first and foremost, the thing I always remember is the long-term average interest rate of the Fed, the federal funds rate, is pretty much 5%. So let's be very nice to them and say it's 4%, 4.00%. Okay. Right now it's at 1.25%, and it's been at that rate or a lot lower for the last decade. It used to be 0.25%. So they've gone from 0.25 to 1.25. But again, the long-term average is 4.00, and it's been a lot higher than that in the past too. So they're a quarter of the way to the average. It's the easiest quarter. You know, when you run a mile, the first quarter mile is a lot easier than the last quarter mile, if you know what I mean. So therefore, that's a good part of it. And then also don't forget, when they raise interest rates, though, it does add to our interest payment on the national debt. So that's a tail.
They can't raise it, can they?
Right. Yeah, right.
They really
that's
can't.
Not much more, definitely not. Definitely
the
not.
Entire economy has to be flying off the handles with a tax stimulus to drive us out of here. Do you agree or disagree?
Repeat the question.
The tax bill. It's
okay.
Now in conference. Senate and House are going to get the same version soon. Who the hell knows what's in it? But as long as everybody thinks and can actually find some places where there will be reductions for them, will or will not the U.S. economy take off? And if it takes off, will or will it not put the mathematics of the debt versus the federal funds rate into a place where, you know, we start turning surpluses for a few quarters in a row, a few years in a row with 4%, 5%, 6% growth? Where could we be?
No, unfortunately not that much. It's not, I don't think we could turn it into a surplus. We could cut the deficit in half or by, I don't know, about 2/3, but maybe cut the deficit by half if we also stick to no more new spending. Who knows if that's true?
Well, if that were to happen, you know, they could hold pat on the growth of at least things. You know, we ran a surplus in the 90s. There's no reason why the U.S. economy couldn't lead the world into another one. I don't see why. So is it in the long term, though, when the slowdown, the boom and bust eventually goes to a downturn, could we have moved to a new place relative to this debt? Or is it just an anchor, a done deal?
I mean, in the long run, as economists love to say, it's a done deal, unless they monetize it, which they've already sort of monetized some of it. But on the flip side, there'd have to be a lot more to monetize. And by that, I mean, the layman's term, print money, electronic digits, more like. So they really haven't even done much of that relative to what they'd really have to do to wipe out this debt. And they've done a lot with quantitative easing and other garbage. So they barely scratch the surface compared to what they would actually have to do to wipe out the $20 trillion. But, hey, anything that buys us time could be useful. I also like your optimism here, that American economy, ingenuity, and just ability to hopefully adapt and find new technologies to overcome a lot of issues will keep civilization afloat, so to speak. World civilization, if necessary. Everyone has to rely on us to actually create new high technology. But unfortunately, a lot of that technology and advancement that could maybe get us out by our bootstraps is currently controlled by DARPA and the military-industrial complex.
Well, I don't know about control, because once a paper is published, anybody can do anything they want with it. Now, if it's a networked software getting onto the net with some of the stuff that DARPA is producing, again, it's possible. Those systems are out there. Palantir is an Intel Fusion, you know, company and software by the same name that was definitely out of that, you know, governmental research environment. But yeah, I'm not as harsh on DARPA as some are. The fundamental concept of having an agency that the taxpayers fund so that you're always trying to break through to technologies that make you outpace every other threat on Earth is a pretty sound investment of federal funds for the American Republic. Whether it's misused, corrupted, brought to bear for evil forces, yeah, it's a risk. But it's hard to argue against having that capability as a nation.
I give you that. I can give you that. They're definitely worse uses of the funds that the Fed, not the Fed, but the federal government have than DARPA, so to speak. And yeah, I do definitely understand this is a practical, real world. We'd rather have us develop some of the stuff than whatever China, Russia, whomever. But yeah, the part, the little disclaimer you had about the corruption part, that's kind of one of the issues, maybe. But
so what do you think of the tax bill?
Tax bill? I did calculations for myself and potentially some of our listeners. The corporate, looks like they may lower the corporate tax rate to 21%, which is a massive decrease. I think is it 35% right now? I think so.
Yeah, it'd be 14% cut right now.
That is a lot. And we have a lot of corporations that employ a lot of people. Now, are they going to share that with employees or R&D or, you know, organic growth? Are they just going to pay dividends to stockholders who are, you know, not necessarily the person who will reinvest in the deep infrastructure of the economy? If they gave your average Joe, or even not your average Joe, but, you know, upper middle class, a lot of that savings, then that would generate a lot for the economy. Or if they invested in plant and property and equipment, et cetera. Yes, but if they just give it to the financial cronies and half of it goes overseas or to Jamie Dimon, then no, the tax cut won't fix things.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm imagining there's a lot of people who are not CEOs of companies that have pretty damn good ideas and could launch something that is profitable and would otherwise not be as motivated, or the venture capital that comes in behind them wouldn't be as previously as encouraged and adventurous. Will these kind of reductions of the just wealth confiscation, it's going to be rocket fuel. That's my prediction. Future Dam making it here in December 2017. You're
going to
see growth that is going to resemble 1994 and 5, 1985 and 6. You know what I mean? We'll at least get 2 years like that. And as this thing sails, I predict there'll be indicators of real concern, and no one's going to look back, because these moments don't happen in adults' lifetimes, you know, often enough, at least, if 21st century is any measure.
Man, I hope so. That would be great. Even if it is only for a couple of years. We'll see. I'm cautiously optimistic. I did run the numbers real quick. Here we go. Here's for someone that's relatively wealthy, a single person, making about $105,000. I can scale this, but I said, okay, who's like upper class, but not elite, would actually pay, you know, and buy a house because of this tax cut, perhaps, or who knows, actually invest in something worthwhile. And guess what? It actually does help that single person making $105,000. There's different, I won't get deep into the brackets or the deductions or the personal exemptions because no one cares too much about that, but you can look it up if you want. Long story short, though, that person making $105,000 single, instead of paying about $19,500 in federal tax, they'll now pay about $16,850. So they're going to save about $2,600. That's about $100 per paycheck. So someone making $105,000, which is relatively wealthy, but depending on where you live, I mean, people in San Francisco, that's like $50,000 in Kansas or something, or $40,000 practically. The point is, you're making $100, $105,000, pretty well-to-do. You could really spend all that. You'd get about $100 per paycheck. Is that going to be rocket fuel? I don't know. Hopefully corporate tax rate and other things will help. But hey, you can't turn down $100 a paycheck. I mean, that's okay, I guess.
But if a $105,000 salaried person goes jumping on job hops in the next 3-4 years and is at 165.
Yeah.
Because there's corporations fighting for their demand because they got jobs that they need to produce in order for that company to have the massive profits it expects. Then you'll see, you know, first of all, I think the personal tax benefits are going to be very diminishing as they go up. But the wage growth is what, you know, everybody's looking for.
That's what we need. That's what we really need for an economy. That's what I really would hope to see. And if this satisfies that, then, yeah, we got a chance. You got to remember, though, Fed taxes and this federal government taxes, not, again, my favorite, Federal Reserve, which is not federal. You got to remember those Social Security and Medicare is out there in terms of deficit, as well as state taxes. So you got state taxes, property taxes, Social Security, Medicare. Those aren't getting cut. So you got to remember that.
Yeah, it's just you're at a point somewhere. You're a floating point on how much of your wealth is being confiscated, and
right.
If you move that if you move that point to less, it's
good.
Moving money into the private hands, and
yeah.
And it's been a long time since anybody, you know, had this opportunity. It will pop. It'll be rocket fuel, as I said, but after the first stage is spent. How's this thing arc into the next presidential election? How's it arc into the second term potentially? We haven't had a one-term president since 1992. It's pretty foregone conclusion. Either you make it the first time or you stay for 8. So how's that play out with the deep state that wants to, you know, do everything in its power to unseat this president? Maybe we should take a break, Mr. Cochran, and come on back and take a look at that part of our analysis every week where the FBI and DOJ has gone wrong.
For sure, man, for sure. And actually, I wanted to put an opportunity out there for folks. If they got any thoughts about what we're talking about, whether it's about Bitcoin, whether it's about these tax cuts, whether it's about this, that, or the other thing, hit us up. If you're listening to this on podcast, you likely see where you can find us written out there in the description of the podcast. But otherwise, go to futuredanger.com, dethronethebanksters.com, or just search those terms, Future Danger, Dethrone the Banksters, on Google, somewhere like that. Start page, I use that so that Google, to be honest, most of the time. I try to. But anyway, hit us up. Send us questions, send us comments, send us your thoughts. And also on futuredanger.com, there's a place where you can actually leave us a voicemail, play on air. So if you think we're a bunch of dumbasses, let us know. If you think we're awesome, let us know. Otherwise, though, we are going to go to break. Stick with us. We'll be back in a few minutes. Close up the show. We got a lot more to talk about. Otherwise, this is Mr. Cochran. Stick with us. Patriot Power Hour. This is the fifth episode we've had so far here on the Patriot Broadcasting Network. Looking forward to some New Year's resolutions for 2018. Bring on some new hosts and get some other content flowing. But we're definitely here every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Patriot Broadcasting Network. Future Dan, what's going on, man? Let's finish this show strong.
Yeah, and one of the places I wanted to go, are we looking at the tail view of a rash of scandals in the DOJ and FBI? Or is this thing going to crack wide open? I know congressional investigations are coming. They're coming in January after Congress comes back, I'm certain. So we may have just hit a bump and we carried the indicator judicial system direly distrusted at a full SHFT level because of the revelations we talked about in episodes 1, 2, 3, and 4. But what's your take on where we've settled with this deep state battle on the fifth and sixth floors of DOJ and the White House?
Well, I almost thought that this stuff was going to go away. It seemed to me that there wasn't much talk about it for several months in early 2017. I mean, there was, but it definitely seemed like it wasn't a hot, you know, radioactive topic anymore. But that's definitely changed. Have they announced those actual hearings in January yet? Or, I mean, it's obviously pretty much implied. And I know things are just going to get more crazier, but I don't even know the official next steps.
Well, there's a bunch of subpoenas that the FBI has been flat out refusing to honor with Congress. Now, Congress has the ability to hold people in contempt, and they held the previous attorney general, the first attorney general of the previous administration in contempt. But the executive branch didn't have any, you know, interest, of course, in exercising any executive authority on that. And Congress doesn't have a mechanism to enforce it. I've seen reports where apparently there's a room that they could use as a jail. And if you went up to, you know, testify and swore in and then refused or held in contempt, they could, Sergeant at Arms could walk you down there. But how long can Congress keep someone in prison? What, a day? It'd be a fiasco. So, but the difference here is that the White House, if it could figure out how to exercise power, could prosecute contempt of Congress. That's how to do it.
So are they going to, though, I guess, is the next question.
Well, the problem is the people you're holding in contempt are the very people that you need to prosecute contempt of Congress. So what do you do? I bet you could have a novel way to do it. I mean, if Congress really had to, they would pass a new organization. Just stand up an agency from whole cloth. You know, give it a 25-person, you know, manning roster, and then the White House handpicks them, and those are the prosecutors. It could go to that, and it would be wildly disruptive of D.C. But like we talked about in earlier segments, if the economy is rocking, no one will pay attention.
Even if they did that 100% constitutionally and for the right reasons, and who knows if either of those would be met, but assuming they both were, oh my God, you would have literal riots in the street if GMO'd, fluorided folks could get out on the street these days. But just think about it. They would totally call Trump some sort of Hitler or something crazy. It would be unbelievable. But hey, I mean,
they're already doing it.
I know, but in a way, though, that's what inevitability is only going to get more and more heated in. So I guess I'm sitting back with some popcorn.
Buying some bear corn with your popcorn.
Hell yeah.
What else is in the stack for tonight, Mr. Cochran? I know you researched several topics at depth. What else strikes your fancy?
Let's see. Going back to my little calculation very quickly for married filing jointly. First off, it looks like the personal exemption that you get for dependents is going to be eliminated, but the standard deduction is going up. But if you're married and you have two or more dependents, you're getting kind of screwed over here. Is that the New World Order de-incentivizing having children? I don't know. Maybe not. But still, if you're married, filing jointly with no children, you're going to be saving, and you make about $250,000 combined, which is a lot. I know that's not the average person, so to speak, but that just shows, you know, kind of a high limit there. Those are the ones that really spend the economy. They're going to go from $49,000 down to $41,000. So they're going to save $7,000-$8,000. That might be material change. So we'll see how this tax plan actually pans out. Just want anyone that's married with no children out there, just wanted to get that out for you since I did the calculations. What else? Go ahead.
Yeah, so my philosophy on taxes over time has brought me to the point of view that income tax is fundamentally flawed economically, and it's unjust. You're confiscating wealth against an activity that otherwise benefits civilization. Taxing income is stupid. Taxing land has me reaching towards boundaries of my inner libertarian and makes me, you know, look at the world where, you know, I'm originally from a state that taxed land, not income, and it gets quite expensive, especially the older you are, to, you know, continue to have your home. After your income goes away, you have massive tax bills on land. I don't think taxing land is the right way to go about it in a perfectly just society. But consumption, I'm on board with. If you have envy in your soul and you want the people who have the ability to buy things that you never can to pay, quote unquote, Sanders style, a fair share, then have a debate on where tax brackets should be for consumption. And, you know, this gets into the way to do things in Europe with value added, which is obviously a corrupt system, but fundamentally, you know, when you start talking to me about deductions and whatnot, I continue to just be repulsed by the system.
Yeah, you said it just about as perfectly as I could have. I'm not saying we go to absolute no tax, although there's many ways to fund things that are not tax related. But for those that you do need taxes for, and I guess there are some, you could argue, consumption base is much better than income or property. I definitely agree. Now, back in the day, maybe land was more easily taxed because people worked it. So it's almost like taxing your business, taxing your land. But now, obviously, people live there, especially older folks, aren't making money off their land. So I definitely see where you're coming from. But, hey, there had to be a tax. Consumption, especially for luxury goods, should not be taxes on eggs and, you know, whatever. Maybe some on some high fructose corn syrup. But I definitely agree. We can make it a lot fairer, and people would still pay out the you-know-what, because they would have so much more money now that now they could afford to buy this, that, and the other thing, even with a very high sales or other type of consumption tax. So I definitely agree with the philosophy. I don't know about the execution, though.
Multiple centuries from now, when bots are combing through podcast files that were recorded – on FutureDanger.com on our archive page for Patriot Power Hour, and turning these into transcripts, and machine intelligence is looking at these things. If there are people available to take advantage of that piece of advice from our perch in the front quarter of the 21st century, we could see a world where it would be better to live in economically, everything else being equal. I am open to criticism of this idea. So if you want to give our show a call this week or in the future and contest it, our number, Ben, is 619. Help me out here.
619-789-6804. Should have gave this out earlier. We gave it out on social media for sure. We should have gave it out. But hey, remember, this is not just a podcast. It's not just pre-recorded. It's live, and we can have live callers, live guests. Our first show, we did have a live guest. We have lots of guests planned in the next year. But write this down if you're listening to it on archive, and you can find it in other places. But here you go, one more time, 619-789-6804. 604-619-789-6804. And you can call right in and give us the business, for better or worse.
What else is in the stack?
In the stack, let's see. Bitcoin's mysterious creator could become world's first trillionaire. Satoshi, as you talked about a little earlier. We were talking offline about Satoshi and not only the unit of account, but a little bit about the guy himself or the enigma. But the creator of Bitcoin is thought to hold 1 million Bitcoins, which is almost worth a trillion U.S. Federal Reserve notes. That's pretty amazing, don't you think?
Yeah, if you can get it out, or if it's not already gone. Yeah.
That's the issue. Getting it out or getting
someone
to give
something. And I think that's... And being in the euphoria phase of Bitcoin, wherever it may lead, just the logic and the accomplishment that he or that consortium of hacker/coders, secret builders of this cryptocurrency, whoever figured it out, if they do walk away with generational wealth, they certainly deserved it.
Oh, for sure. Assuming it wasn't some sort of deep state ploy, not 100% convinced it's not, but, maybe not. Regardless, though, even if it was deep state, it damn worked well, so you give them props too, right?
Certainly.
What else got in the stack? I got a whole new set of things coming through here. Hey, I do got to say this. I am not afraid of being 100% open and upfront. I use my real name here on the air. And also, I have used some Bitcoin to purchase some gold and silver. So I got 100 ounces of silver and half an ounce of gold with 0.15 Bitcoin the other day. It was
sweet.
Pretty cool. Pretty sweet.
You bought it directly from a metal shipper in Bitcoin,
yep.
Right? It never even went to dollar.
Oh, exactly. Yes, exactly. So definitely. I'm glad he wanted me to clarify. I did not sell my Bitcoin, get U.S. dollars, and then buy it on my credit card or something. I sent them 0.15, like 38248, was out to like the fifth or sixth decimal, sent it to their Bitcoin address, and about 2 hours later, got a confirmation it was paid. It wasn't right away. It wasn't within seconds, but within 2 hours, maybe even a little less. Did you pay? Oh, first off, I got a 3% discount paying that way instead of credit card or PayPal. So that's pretty cool. Sending out, it had some fees, yes, but it's just proof that, hey, you can buy gold or silver with Bitcoin. So anyone, hey, I'm a gold, silver lover, gold bug, you may even say, but I'm not anti-Bitcoin like some people out there, because look what I just did. I flipped some Bitcoin into that. You may say I just got lucky, maybe, but it does work.
And it scares the hell out of the establishment economic system.
Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah. No. They are freaked out. I still believe I just cannot trust anything on the internet. That's my only concern. That's like my biggest caveat. Anything on the internet, I just can't.
Including our show and our websites.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know that I'm getting censored on Facebook for sure. I got a feeling we may be censored in other ways, but whatever. Keep fighting.
Yeah, shadow banned on Twitter. I got 10,000 followers, and it's certainly a potential. Everybody complains about it. Everybody is tweeting all day long. Got a lot of great followers. We're putting this show out through the Future Danger 6 at Twitter. And if you call in, do a speak pipe, leave us a voicemail. Love to hear from some of the longtime followers of Future Danger. I know we got a lot of fans out there.
Heck yeah.
With that,
the
Mr. Cochran,
we've been getting some good listens or good listenership count here on Patriot Power Hour. So there are folks listening. We can see from all across the world. You can't see your home address or something, but we can see what state or country. We actually have a few international listeners even. So those out there that are listening, whether live or archived, hit us up. We really want to feedback. We want to get you involved, answer any questions you might have. Suggestions,
say thank
or
you.
Have you as a guest. say thank you. Most importantly, heck yeah, even if you want to be anonymous and don't want to be on air or anything or don't have a question, I'd love to hear your back. So definitely encourage everyone to do that.
Excellent. So this was the fifth episode of Mr. Cochran. We're going to go right in through the holiday break every single Wednesday night at 9 p.m. We will be breaking it down and seeing what's happening. You won't be getting the fluff, popular culture, who's the sex pervert of today and how it matters to your party's election chances. Not here.
Yeah.
Not important. And what we're talking about is the deeper meaning of some of these phenomena that have the potential to just upend this world in ways that the next generation will find normal. But the ones that those of us that were here before it happened will always be shaking our head as why did it have to happen that way? Or perhaps not. Perhaps we're going to have a great, you know, little respite from the desperation while the United States economy booms. Looking forward to this rest of December with you.
Yeah, man, you said it all perfectly right there. So I don't even know if I should say anything to follow up. I'll just spoil it. But Future Dan, have a great week. Listeners out there, thanks a lot. Again, encourage you to reach out to us, support us. We don't want your money. We just want your feedback and camaraderie in this fight against the banksters, against the military overlords, not our military, but those who seek to use it for ill purposes. And other just bad people worldwide. Gosh darn it. We're here to try to fight them. So we'll be back next week. Preserve the American Way, Constitution, Bill of Rights, Patriot Power Hour. Geez, that's all I'll say. Have a good one, everybody. Talk to you later.
Get to Old Navy today only. Great gifts like blankets and slippers for the family are just $5. And Adora boots for women, girls, and toddler girls are just $12. Hurry, it ends tonight at Old Navy. Valid 12/14, excludes boys, select styles, in stores only.
You've reached the Holly A helpline. We turn the holidays into Holly A's.
Help, my family's decked the halls with boughs of holly, but our cozy clothes aren't very jolly.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, the entire store's up to 60% off, plus all sleepwear and all sweaters are on sale.
Up to 60% off the entire store? Fa-la-la.
Sleepwear starts at just $7 for adults, $8 for kids, with sweaters from $10 for adults, $8 for kids at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
Tis the season to go to Old Navy.
Turn your holiday into a Holly A. Get to Old Navy today.
Valid 12/13 to 12/19. Excludes in-store clearance, gift cards, register lane, items, jewelry today only, and two-day only deals.